Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
How y'all doing? Now, what a good night, eh? Already been incredible. Already been in just the sense of the presence of God here. And quick shout out again to all of those who just got baptized. Can we give it up for them one more time? So proud of you guys. Every single one of you. Matea, shout out. Proud of you. Incredible. You know what? It's not just a ceremonial habit we go through. The old is gone. The new has come. New day for you guys. So proud of you guys. Unbelievable moment. This is a marked moment for you guys. New season. So I'm really, really excited about that. And then I just got to give a little shout out to the interns as well. I got a chance to teach one of the Bible college classes recently. And what an honor, and highly recommend C3 internship. It's absolutely incredible. So it's going to be good. And you know, Pastor Matt here kind of got a little almost sentimental on me there for a second in the intro, but we just so appreciate these two as well. Every time you're around them, they pull out the greatness. Every time you're around them, they challenge you to reach a little bit higher, dream a little bit bigger, believe for a little bit more, and they're slightly competitive as well. So if you ever played a game of washers with them, it's dangerous. It's very dangerous. Especially if you're on his team, he kind of looks at you like, are we going to crush this? Because if not, I'm picking a new team member. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's definitely that sense of needing to kind of crush it. And recently we did crush one game, and then the second game something happened. Might have been sin or something because we did not do well the second round on something. So, but anyways, I'm ready to get into the word here in a second. Let's give it up for our worship team. Love you guys. Thank you so much. You know, shout out to John and Lauren Day. You know, the Bible says that a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for the day of adversity. And these two have been a beautiful example of that. So I'm so thankful for them. And God's good. Amen. Let me ask this question. Then we're going to pray and get right in the Word. What could God do if we created space for Him in our lives? What could God do if we created space for Him to work in our lives? Father, I thank you for tonight. Speak to us. Open up our hearts, God. Give us something we haven't seen before. Teach us something we haven't known before. But God, not just more information. God, empower us to do the work you've called us to do. God, I pray that tonight, God, as we lean into your word, that you'd speak to us, you'd challenge us, you'd show us who you are in a new way. You'd draw us closer to yourself in a new way. We love you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to kind of intro here into a classic story about a young woman named Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says this, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Then verse 29, Mary says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting might this be, which is probably in the Bible maybe one of the biggest understated kind of like statements. I mean, a big old angel shows up hardcore in like your bedroom and she goes, what could this mean? AKA, she's probably freaking out. You know what I mean? She's like a teenage girl. She's probably an absolute hot mess at this point. Ah! just literally this angel, and this not like, you know, chubby baby angel. This is warrior archangel shows up into the room and says, Mary, I've got a message for you. And she is freaking out. She's, what does this mean? What's this going to be all about? And then in verse 30, he says, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son. You'll call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jerusalem, or Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. His kingdom will never end. Verse 34, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? A legitimate question. You know what I mean? A good next step follow-up, okay? Angel got the info. Quick question. This is going to be a problem. I'm currently still a virgin, so talk to me, right? So he goes, we got this worked out, Mary. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, and her, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. That's a word in itself right there. No word from God will ever fail. Verse 38 says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. Wow, what a scenario that is unfolding here with Mary and this angel. And what God is asking Mary to do is pretty significant. I mean, like, pretty massive, right? This is not an unfamiliar story to us, but remember, God is asking her to make some major room in her life for the message of Jesus Christ, ultimately, literally, Jesus Christ to come to earth. He's saying, Mary, I need you to create some space. I need you to make some room in your life and in your scenario and your situation. I need you to make room for me to invade earth. I need you to make room in your life so that I can bring this message to earth. This world needs hope. This world is broken. It's lost. It's confused. I've got to get Jesus to earth, and I need somebody who will create some space. I need somebody who will make some room in their life. And this is a pretty big ask for God to ask a young woman. I mean, this is not a convenient thing. God is asking her to massively inconvenience her life. I mean, to the point of potential death kind of a situation. In her culture, being pregnant without being married was not a good situation, right? For sure, it's ostracizing her from everyone around her. She's a complete outcast. She's completely, her life is over in many ways. In this scenario, when she says yes to this plan that God has, she is saying yes to the most inconvenient next, you know, pretty much the rest of her life. Honestly, she's always going to be the woman that people might talk a little bit about, well, yeah. You know, but the history, you know how she was back in the day, this whole virgin birth thing, that was, you know, a nice story. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, she's going to have to deal with this and have to navigate this. And it's not normal. It's not convenient for her to have to walk this scenario out. But she says, I'm going to make space. I'm going to make room for God to do something. I'm going to make room for God to speak and work in my life. And God is asking us to do the same thing. Are we going to make room for God to work in our life? Are we going to make space for him to use us to speak in our life? And here's the thing I want to encourage you with. When God asks us to create space, one of the things he typically does, he does something in us before he usually does something through us, right? That's what happened with Mary. God did, everything was on the inside. God did something in Mary before God ultimately used Mary to do something in the earth. And that's one of the good things about saying yes to creating space for God to work in our life, is that God is so incredibly amazing and wonderful and faithful to transform and work in our lives, even when we think we're beyond help in a certain area. When you say yes to being used by God, you're also beautifully opening up your life for God to begin to minister healing and wholeness and transformation in a way that is not possible any other way. You know, sometimes people get up on the stage and their lives look kind of all put together and perfect. And if you're in the audience and you feel like, man, you're just kind of coming into this and your life feels like a mess and your life feels hopeless. They're like, well, I can never be as perfect as those guys up on the platform. I can never have all my stuff together. But you know what? A lot of times you don't know the story of grace. You don't know the transformation journey of people who are broken and hurting. But when you open up space to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, when you open up room for God to begin to do something, He transforms and works us and develops us into be something that only He can do, and something that's so far beyond what you ever believed was possible in your life. No matter where you're at, no matter the hurt, no matter the pain, no matter the brokenness, if you give God some space, if you give God something to work with in your life, if you open up your life to be used by God, it'll be amazing to watch what He can begin to do. The joy that can come, the peace that can come, the strength that can come. And maybe even here tonight, there's some who've not even really opened up your heart at all to Christ yet. Maybe you're still in that spectator mode. Maybe you're still wondering about this whole religion thing, this whole Jesus thing, this whole Christianity thing. You're not totally sure about it. And I just want to encourage you, tonight could be your night to create some space. Open up the door of your heart. Jesus says this, that I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone would open up the door, if they open up, I'll come in. And here's what I love about Jesus. Now, he can't pass up a meal. That's one of the things I've noticed about Jesus. Almost every time Jesus is hanging out with people, he's eating. I don't know if you've noticed this. But even in that verse, he says, if you open up the door, I'll come in. But he doesn't say, I'll just come in. He says, and I will eat with you. He loved eating. He's always eating. But you know what? That speaks so powerfully that he's not just trying to get in, get you a quick salvation and get out of you, away from you because he's annoyed by you. Man, if you're going to commit to dinner with somebody, like, you know, like, you probably like them. You know what I mean? Like if I got to commit the next 2 hours of my night with somebody, like, you know, I don't want this to be annoying. But Jesus has this open invitation that if anybody opens the door, if anybody invites him for dinner, he's hanging for dinner, right? Because he has never once tried to get away from a conversation with you. He's always trying to get into conversation. He's always trying to get closer. I love Jesus. He's so good. He's so kind. He's so desiring to be close to us. And he invites us in. And when we open up our life to create space to say, God, you can use my life. You can work in my life. One of the first things he does is before he gets you to do stuff, man, he first just gets close to us. He first ministers to us, brings life and healing to us. He's so good like that. His ability to transform. So God has asked Mary originally, obviously, to literally create room, like, in her womb. You know what I mean? Like, to bring Jesus literally to the planet. But you know what? He's still looking for us to create space in our lives. Thankfully, that virgin birthing only happened one time. So teenage girls, don't worry. That's not going to happen again. You will not be asked to do that again. You know, heads up. If you try to sell that story again, it won't work. God's still looking for us to create space so that he can get the message of hope to the world that's around us. The world, I love Pastor Leanne's message this morning. If you got a chance to hear it, man, we have a confused world. We have a hurting world. We've got a broken world that's around us at our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our universities. Everywhere around us, we have the opportunity to be used by God to bring hope to a world that is desperately needing Jesus, right? But we got to create some room. Somebody's got to create space. Somebody's got to be willing to be inconvenienced a little bit for God to be able to move. Let's see here. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 15. Says this, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. What a great verse. People need to hear. They need to hear the message of the gospel, but unless we go, unless we say something, unless we leave these four walls and actually bring this message, how are they going to know? It's so easy for us to go, yeah, we're believing for San Diego to get reached for Christ. But whose job is it? Whose role is it? Who's going to do it? Who's going to go? Who's going to speak? Who's going to bring this gospel to San Diego? Is it us? Are we willing? Are we available? Now, here's the thing about this set of verses that's kind of interesting is that usually feet and beautiful are not in the same sentence, right? You know what I mean? You know, some of y'all have interesting feet. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all, it takes a lot of hard work to get those feet Instagram ready. You know what I'm saying? Like, for like that beachside, poolside, Instagram pic, feet up, like... We know how much waxing and clipping and buffing and scraping and grading. You know what I'm saying? Like, it takes work, right? Some people should just never take pictures of your feet. You know what I mean? Like, there should be no-go zones. Sometimes feet's that. You know what I mean? And you don't have to show your feet all the time. Like, although we live in San Diego and it's flip-flops all the time, right? So that is a challenge for us. So if you have problems with feet, you just don't look down. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's just how it is. How beautiful are the feet, it says, that bring good news. Now, you'll notice that adjective, that statement of beauty is not about the feet. It's about the availability of the feet. So beauty is in the availability. Beauty of the feet in this scenario is the willingness of the feet to actually bring good news to people, right? So if I want to be beautiful, it's about my availability, not about my manicured, painted, buffed, scraped, waxed, or whatever it takes to get those feet ready, right? So the beauty is in the availability. Am I willing? Am I available? Am I making myself available to be used by God? Such a bummer if you've got the most beautiful message but unavailable to bring it. Beautiful but unavailable is such an unfortunate reality. When I think of that, I think about China cabinets. Did anyone like have fine china, or your grandma did, or your great grandma? And it's like, it looks beautiful, but you're not allowed to ever use it. It's just like this thing that sits in your living room, and it's really expensive and absolutely amazing. It's beautiful, but it's unavailable. You know what I'm saying? Like, no one can use it. No one can touch it. If you even think about touching it, you're in massive trouble. You're like, why do we even own this anyways? No one understands it. It's some dude who made china was like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make this massive situation where everyone just buys it and never uses it. So I don't even know the strategy behind that, because if people use it and break it, you'd have to buy more. So it doesn't seem like a good business model to get everyone to put it in shelves that are never using it. Beautiful but unavailable. Some things are beautiful but unnecessary, like a mullet. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know what I mean? Like... Why? You know what I'm saying? Like, but I'll actually shout out to Beaver. You know what I'm saying? I actually kind of liked his mullet. I'm going to be real. But he just won second place in some world nitro circus of the world. Freaking boss. I love it. He's such a good dude. Even with a mullet, he really crushed it. Actually, he doesn't have a mullet anymore, but it was a phase. It was a phase. It's a short mullet right now. That's cool. You know, if you got a mullet, that's fine. Don't be offended. Let's not go there. You just kind of wonder sometimes how that haircut got invented. You know what I mean? Like, a barber accident, like, oh, no. You know, which you never want to hear your barber say that when you're getting a haircut. Oh, this is bad. And you're like, he's like, well, I have to go to a business meeting. He's like, well, it looks business in the front. But it's a party in the back. So just be careful. Don't turn around in this next meeting because it could be bad. But beautiful but unavailable, that's the worst possible thing. But I think a lot of times as Christians, we are that. We have the most beautiful message. We have the most amazing truth and freedom that we can bring to people, but unavailable to be used by God to deliver this message. I don't want to be that. You know, our two little daughters, Mercedes and Kenzie, they're thirsty from time to time. Hey, Dad, I need a drink of water, right? So I'm going to go to the cupboard. I'm going to grab a glass. I'm going to get a drink of water for my kids, right? What if I go to reach in the cupboard and I go to grab a glass, and as I'm grabbing it, the glass says to me, hey, actually, now's not a really good time. You know, kind of busy. Okay, all right. Okay, then you go to the next class. The next class goes, hey, you know, actually, I feel a little dirty. You know, the last dishwasher cycle didn't quite get everything out. You probably don't want to use me. And you kind of go to the next one. And first of all, you're like, you're frustrated because you can't get a good glass. You're also frustrated because now cupboard dishware are talking to you, so you're concerned on. There's a lot of dynamics, a lot of health issues that are going on probably. But you kind of keep reaching. The next one it says, you know, actually, I feel a little broken. There's some chips on me. I just don't think I'm usable. Every time God's going to go to kind of reach to get a glass, there's a reason. And finally, you get to one who says, yeah, I'm available. Go ahead and grab the glass, get some water and bring it. And you know what? That is what God is looking for. He's looking for people available, not perfect, not all cleaned up, not without spot, not available, willing. We got the best living water, the Bible says. Jesus is the living water. He's the drink that people need, right? He's the hope that people need. He's the joy that people need. He's the grace that people need. And we are the conduits of it. We're the glass. We're the container that God is saying, can I find a vessel? Can I get a container? Can I get somebody who's willing to transport the good news? Can I get somebody who creates some space in their life to be inconvenienced enough for God to begin to speak and God to begin to move? I want to be beautiful and available. No, nothing more powerful than a church that's beautiful and available, has the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and is available to bring it, is available to bring the good news to the world that's around us. Amen? You know, just some practical things. I think sometimes we get a little bit nervous, like we're talking about sharing your faith or something like that, you know, terms like evangelism. And like evangelism is one of like the scariest words on the planet for a lot of people, because like, oh Lord, you know, like I gotta have my script and I've gotta, you know what I mean, I didn't go to Bible college, I can't evangelize. And then when you think of evangelists, you think of like awkward perfume salesmen in parking lots, you know what I mean, that are just going up and like harassing you to buy stuff, you know. You're just like, I don't want to be that, I, you know. But you know what? The simplicity of evangelism is this. It's telling your story. It's just, you encountered Jesus. He's done something in your life. Just tell people about that. You don't have to have a college degree for that. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to go through a 7-week course on sharing your faith. Just tell people what Jesus did in your life. That's it. That's it. That's how we do it. And you know what? In our workplaces, man, people are facing challenge and struggle and pain and difficulty all the time. And instead of going like, hey, it's all right, it'll get better. You know what? It might not if Jesus doesn't intervene in the situation, right? So we have so many opportunities in school and neighborhoods and workplace environments that when people are facing challenges, those are amazing opportunities to be able to say, you know what? Let me tell you what's helped me. Oh, man, you're dealing with depression? Let me tell you how I've fought and battled through that. Oh, man, you're facing this? Let me tell you what worked for me, right? This is how Jesus did something in my life. Now, here's how I would encourage you in your life. There's just daily little opportunities that if we create the space, we ask God to use us to speak, allow God to use us to bring hope to people around us, God will provide the opportunities. There's plenty of them. There's plenty of spaces. Even the simple one, here's a little one. Like when people ask, especially say on Monday or you're out somewhere, a lot of times a question, you get back to work or back to school on Monday and they're like, hey, what'd you do this weekend? Just don't leave God out of the weekend. Right? It's a simple thing. If you just make Jesus and following him in church a normal part of your weekend conversation, it opens up doors, creates space. Just talk about it. Just God is a part, if he's a part of your life, let him be a part of your conversation, right? Just be in there. Share your faith. Open up your life. And here's something that I know Pastor Matt has talked about this too, is that, you know what, we can lead people to Christ outside of this building too, you know? We don't have to just wait for the preacher to do it on Sundays, right? You can share your faith. You can lead people to Christ. One of the chapters that we have in the book actually talks about sharing your faith. I think sometimes, honestly, we are a little bit nervous. Like, what do I say? What do I do? What does this look like? Well, we've got some great scriptures in there, some great kind of practical steps, how to share your faith, how to really lead somebody to Christ. You know what? Another way to share our faith is bringing them to church, right? It's one of the great ways to do it. Man, get somebody in here, allow them to experience the presence of God and hear the word of God. Man, this is a powerful opportunity to lead somebody to Christ. But don't just put it in the box of, well, got to leave it up to Pastor Matt and Michaela. I just got to leave it up to Pastor Jurgen and Leanne to do all that, like telling people about Jesus stuff. Like, we can do that. Every day of our lives, in our workplace, and everywhere that we go, we have the opportunity to lead people to Christ. Amen? But are we going to create the space? Are we going to be used by God? I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and join me here as I wrap up. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father." We did a little baptism here earlier. "And the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus is reaching out and asking us to create space. He said, will you go and make disciples? Will you go and show people how to follow me? Will you go and reach? Will you go and bring this message of good news? We let people know. If the message got to you and it got to me, it's our opportunity and our privilege and our responsibility to now help get the message to somebody else, right? Let somebody else know about the good news. He says, go. Man, we got to keep getting this word out until every person and every nation and every continent gets to hear about Jesus, right? And you know what? There's a few people yet in San Diego who don't yet know Jesus. We got a couple, so we got work to do. We have an opportunity to reach. We have an opportunity to bring good news to people. We have an opportunity to bring this message. But are we going to make room? Are we going to create space for it? Are we going to be available? Are we going to create room for God to move and God to speak through our lives? You know, it's easy to kind of get in our zone and get in our flow, right? I'm just going through the motions. Coming in, we love church. We get all filled up. We get all fired up. But if we leave and we're not bringing this message out there, what are we doing? What am I doing? I've been guilty of it all the time. Going through my motions, you know, but I don't want to miss opportunities to bring light to people. I don't want to miss opportunities to bring that fresh glass of water to people. And God is looking for every single one of us, every day of our lives, to be available to allow God to, the Holy Spirit, to be able to tap us on the shoulder and be able to say, hey, talk to that person. Hey, encourage that person. Hey, pray for that person, right? And then when we create space for that, God's able to move. And God's able to work in that. God's able to speak to that. I kind of said it earlier, when we create space, God does stuff in us first. But I do want to just remind you again, I just love the Holy Spirit and that. The Bible says that we get to enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and that is relationship and its power. God empowers us to be His witnesses, but you know what? First, it is the Holy Spirit is to provide the most intimate, close relationship with God that we could ever have. See, God isn't okay with us just settling for a distant connection. He wants us close. And so when the Holy Spirit is made available to us, it empowers us, the Bible says in Acts 1:8, to be His witness, but it also brings us close, brings us near to His heart. And that's what He wants. He wants us to bring us in. When we make ourselves available to be used by God, God uses us, but He also does it. We get to walk hand in hand with Him in a way that can't happen when you're just a spectator Christian. When you lean in and say, God, I'm available, I'll be used by you. Man, we get to walk in a way with God. We get to walk close to His heart, and we get to begin to hear God in a way that we haven't heard Him before. We get to experience the presence of God in a way that we haven't heard before. You know, in Acts 1, 4 through 5, Jesus, again, we're talking about creating space. So the Great Commission, talk about go and make disciples. But Jesus, before He goes, in Acts 1, verse 4 and 5, says, on one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you've heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We got to create space to allow the Holy Spirit to empower us. And that's why if you are not yet signed up for tomorrow night, I want to encourage you, make every effort, create some space in the schedule, right? Create room for it. Let's be there. Let's not miss an opportunity like tomorrow night to learn how to hear from the Holy Spirit, learn how to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. Our world needs us to be ready. Our world needs us to be equipped to have the Holy Spirit. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that actually equips us. You know, when Mary said, hey, how is this all going to happen? You know what the angel said? The Holy Spirit is going to come on you. He's going to overshadow you. He's going to empower you. If we're going to be the light, if we're going to be the witness that God has called us to be in the world around us, it's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be His Spirit speaking to us, empowering us, strengthening us to be a witness. Amen? Amen. Here's what I want us to do, kind of in, I want to pray together. I believe that God wants to, I want to intercede for our city tonight. I want to really take some time to really go for it. We don't advance unless we advance in prayer, right? Side note, if you're a guy, Tuesday mornings, prayer right here, 6 a.m. That's where it goes down. And then Thursday, what time? 7. Don't judge the ladies for taking an hour later. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. 7 a.m. on Thursday's prayer. Tuesday, 6 a.m., men's prayer. This is where it all gets started, right? In prayer. So I want to pray in a second, but here's what I want us to do. If you got paper, I know all you all are all faithfully putting yourself away, but if you got paper, physical paper, I want you to write down 1 to 3 names of people that you right now are going to begin to pray for, that God's going to give you an opportunity to share your faith with or to bring them to church with you, right? Who are we praying for? Let's all get a few names. And in a second when we do that, we're going to worship, and I want us to get out of our seats. We're going to come down near the front. If you've got a physical piece of paper, we're going to lay these down on the altar. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray for your friends. We're going to pray for your family. We're going to believe tonight that God, as we open up our lives and say, God, I'm creating some space. I'm opening up my heart to you. I'm opening up my life to be used by you. I believe that God is going to answer that, that God's going to give you opportunity to share your faith, to share life with those names that you're writing down. Who are we praying for? I know there's a Starbucks that I'm often at. I'm believing that God's going to use me to be able to reach some of them. They're, by the conversations, they're hurting and they're confused. I want to believe that God's going to help me be able to reach them. Some of our neighbors, I believe that God's going to help us to reach them and see them in church with us. Are you going to be available? Are you willing to allow God to inconvenience your life so that somebody can hear about Jesus, so somebody can know the grace of Jesus Christ? Amen. As you guys are finishing thinking about that, I want to ask a question before I invite everyone to come down. If you'd all kind of bow your heads, close your eyes, and if you've already written your names down, if you're still in the middle of that, that's fine. But I want us to ask a question here tonight before we finish. If you're here tonight and you say, you know what, I've not yet made the decision initially to really open my heart up to Christ. We're talking about being used by God to reach other people, but you're here tonight and you say, you know what, if I'm honest, I'm not yet in a relationship with Jesus. I've not yet made that decision to follow Him. I've not yet made that choice to really surrender my life to His way and His leadership. You've been trying to do it all on your own, trying to make it all work on your own. And you know, it's time to surrender your life to Him, to really say, Jesus, you're the leader and you're the Lord of my life. He'll come and He'll forgive your sin, bring grace like you never thought possible. As you're kind of reflecting your life, if that's you here tonight, I just want you to boldly lift up your hand. Let me pray with you around the room. Lift up your hand. Let me pray with you tonight. You say, that's me. I want to make a decision to follow Christ. Awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. Anybody else? That's me. Tonight's your night. You want to get your life on track with Christ. Make a decision to follow Him. Great. Cool. Anybody else? Just wait one more moment, and then I'll pray with those who raise your hand. Awesome. Okay, church, everyone pray this prayer after me, and those of you who raise your hand especially, I want you to pray this with me. Just a prayer of decision to follow Christ. Everyone say this. Say, Jesus, tonight I make a decision to follow you. with all my heart for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sin and raising from the dead to give me life. I live for you from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give it up for those who just made that decision tonight. We want to get a Bible in your hands. We want to get a copy of Following Jesus in your hands to help with the next step. So make sure you come and see one of our leaders, see myself afterward. If you don't find somebody, come find me, and we want to pray with you. But now here we go. I need to end this thing, but I want us to pray together. So you don't have to do this, but if you're willing and you want to take that step and really agree together in prayer, in a moment we're all going to stand, we're going to worship, but I want to invite everyone who would to come forward, lay those names on the stage, and stay down here. We're going to pray together for a few moments. We're going to worship. We're going to believe God to transform the city of San Diego, to see lives change, see our friends' lives change. So let's all stand to our feet. Let's worship. I want you to get out of your seat. Come forward. Lay those names up on the altar here. Stay up here with us. We're going to worship. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray for your friends. Begin to pray for your workplace. Begin to pray for your schools. Pray for your family. Pray for your neighborhoods. Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.